Hello and welcome back to Small Talk. We've got a great episode ahead as we chat with a whole family of men's lacrosse players from St. Lawrence. I'm your host, Katie Mucci. Each week on this show, we highlight the past and present of Division III, with both current and former student athletes joining to talk about their experiences, their favorite on-campus spots, the craziest road trip stories, and more. This week, it's a family affair as we're joined by the head men's lacrosse coach at St. Lawrence, Mike Mahoney, along with his sons, Mark, John, and Daniel. The group talks about their favorite memories with the team, the changes around campus over the years, why they chose St. Lawrence, and more. Thanks for joining this week. Now it's time for some small talk.
Hi there, I'm Mike Mahoney. I'm the head men's lacrosse coach at St. Lawrence University. I'm also a graduate of St. Lawrence in 1993, where I played men's lacrosse and football.
I'm John Mahoney. I'm currently a senior here at St. Lawrence, a member of the men's lacrosse team.
I'm Daniel Mahoney. I'm a freshman here at St. Lawrence and also a member of the men's lacrosse team.
Hi, I'm Mark Mahoney. I'm a former member of the men's lacrosse team. I was a 2022 graduate of St. Lawrence.
So it is a family affair today. Thank you all for joining me. As I said before we got started, I know you're in the thick of your season, and Mark, I heard you are gainfully employed, thankfully. So I appreciate you guys all taking your time to be here with me. The first thing we'll talk about is kind of on-campus life. So I'm going to start out with our two current student athletes, John and Daniel, and want to hear from you guys when you and the teammates are hanging out on campus. What are kind of those hot spots that you guys go to? And then Mark, and especially Mike, were those the same for you guys? I know, Mark, you're only a couple of years removed, so it probably hasn't changed too much. Mike, were those places around? So John, Daniel, whichever one of you two wants to start, you can go ahead.
Yeah, I can kick us off here. So sunny day up here, which honestly a lot of snow most of the year. So when it's nice out, hanging out by the townhouses, which is like the senior living, pretty popular spot. Walk right out. There's a golf course right off of our campus. So guys love to get out on the course, play a couple holes. Then another popular spot where the team gets together is Appleton Arena on Sundays. We do skate for like an hour once a week. A lot of former hockey players on the team. So that's some good bonding time with the boys.
Yeah, then for me, they just renovated the lounges in our freshman dorm. So you can always find a couple of the guys doing homework or playing ping pong down there. So that's a really good spot. And then throughout campus, there's a bunch of fireplaces, like gas fireplaces. So just hanging out when we have some free time, talking around the fire, it's definitely a good setup for us.
I would say at my time there, I like to hang out at the pub or at Dana, which are two of the main spots to eat on campus. There'd always be a big crew of friends there, and you'd always be seeing a lot of people that you knew. So those were two of my favorite spots as well.
Yeah, things have changed a little bit over 30 years. You know, another spot that I tend to see a lot of our guys, though, is a place called the Timeout Cafe. It's in Newell, our athletic facility, which is a relatively new facility, early 2000s was when it was built. But there's actually a kind of a lunch and, you know, spot where you can get a good sandwich and soup, and guys can hang out there between classes before practice. You know, when I was a student here, the student center was in a totally different place. It was the E.J. Noble Center. And, you know, one of the interesting things, they actually had a bowling alley down there. So that was a place where people would congregate, and also in that kind of the student center, we now have a much bigger and brighter space than we did back in those days. But those are a couple of spots that we would hang out.
When you think of your time on campus 30 years ago, and maybe more so the city surrounding campus, are there any kind of staples that have been there the whole time, restaurants, anything like that, that are still around that people still hang out at?
Yeah, I mean, from a restaurant standpoint, if anyone's been to St. Lawrence, visited a friend here, been a student here, had a son or a daughter attend here, Sergi's is a staple of the Canton community. It's a family restaurant that you know, you get great Italian food, and you know, they know the students, the students know them, and it's a place that you can go for a great dinner, sometimes you know, a late night snack of a pizza roll that they're famous for, and but Sergi's would be the place that I would say has been a staple of the Canton community for many decades.
All right, well, I've got that on my list next time I'm in town. Perfect. Now let's think of off campus, so traveling. One thing in D3, obviously you guys are not necessarily hopping on planes for every game like you might at a different division. The conference is probably relatively close to you, so you're not taking too long of rides. But I have heard the funniest stories when you go back, some of these alums who are 20, 30 years removed, about how they traveled compared to how the teams are traveling now. So I would love to hear if it's the same, Mike. What was the travel situation when you were there? Were you guys in vans? Was the coach driving it? What was the situation?
Yeah, we were in vans. You know, likely a coach, the head coach and an assistant coach. You know, when we would take spring trips, we often went to Florida. There were times when the head coach would say, hey, you know, we're done with practice on Thursday. We'll meet you in Florida on Sunday. And people would jump into cars and make the trek, you know, 24 hours down to Florida. It wasn't the safest or most reliable mode of transportation. And then even when we were in our normal schedule, we often were in vans. I can remember making a trip down to Lemoyne my first year as a head coach, and Lemoyne's in Syracuse, and we got about just outside of Watertown, and one of our vans broke down. So we had to basically combine, I think we had three vans going, the other guys into the other two vans, squeeze them in while the other van got towed down to Syracuse. And, you know, those are the things that we dealt with. I'm happy to say that we travel much in much more luxury now with coach buses. And if we have a further trip, we did take a trip to Memphis and Nashville this year, where we obviously flew, and that was a much better mode of transportation.
Seems a bit of a liability to have your student athletes driving themselves 24 hours down to Florida.
Yeah, I would not want to be dealing with that as a head coach.
No, absolutely not. And for you guys, obviously travel's a bit better now. You're riding in buses. But have you had any maybe fun road trip stories for either of the brothers here? Any fun road trip stories of your time on the team?
I was just going to say, traveling on the bus with 50 guys, it's never super dull. Like, we find ways to stay entertained. We've got a designated movie guy. We've been through Kung Fu Panda and Top Gun and some other classic films this year. So we find ways to keep it fun and make the trips go by quick. But it's definitely one of the more enjoyable parts is just being on the bus with all your friends.
Yeah, a couple long bus rides. 2 years ago, we played in the NCAA tournament up at Bowdoin College. And I don't even remember exactly how long the bus ride was. But after we had lost, we had like a 12, 13 hour bus ride, maybe, came back at like 3 a.m. But like Daniel said, you know, you're with your best friends, so keeps it entertaining. You like to get a little sleep on the bus, but it's hard to get shut eye. Someone's always bothering you or, you know, wants to say what's up. So yeah, the bus rides are a great time for bonding though. Definitely, an annoyance at sometimes, but also like some of the best memories for sure.
Yeah, I would say that for me now, being out of it and into the corporate world, those bus rides are something that I definitely miss and provided some core memories throughout my experience. So given Can's location, you're in for some long bus rides, but made some of the better memories on those long trips, which was awesome.
Very cool. Any cities or places you all traveled to that you have like a specific touristy experience or just overall experience that sticks out to you? I know you guys got back from a spring break trip, so that might have been something there.
Yeah, on this past spring break trip, we played Friday, Saturday in Maryland, and then we got to go to D.C. on Sunday. So I hadn't been since I was much younger, so I was more appreciative of the nation's history, able to see some of those monuments. That was a pretty cool opportunity. Kind of a part of the country I'm just not around a lot geographically. So being able to check out DC, you know, as older, more educated college student was definitely neat.
Yeah, and then my dad mentioned it earlier, but we went down to Memphis and Nashville earlier in the year for our first game. And we got to have a team dinner right downtown in Nashville. So we got to walk by all the country music or live performances and things like that, and went to a Nashville Predators game. So as a country fan, it was definitely really cool to experience that with all the guys.
Yeah, I would say one of the main highlights for my time was spring break trips down to Tampa, Florida. Being from Canton, it can be cold earlier in the season, so we always looked forward to getting down there, getting into some warm weather, and had some great times down there.
Very cool. Yeah, Daniel, Nashville, Broadway Street is like always a good time. It's a bit chaotic, even during the middle of the day. It's a lot of people in a small place, but very fun down there. So super cool experiences you all got to have. Obviously, you have your dad to thank for those because he is the one probably making your schedule as well. So, Coach, how about you? When you were on the team, do you guys have any good – obviously, you went to Florida. You had to drive there yourself. Anything stuck out from any trips you guys had?
Yeah, we did Florida a couple of years. We went down and played at Salisbury, Maryland, and Gettysburg, Gettysburg College. I remember, you know, doing kind of a tour of the battlefields down in Gettysburg as kind of a history buff. That was a neat opportunity. But yeah, we try to mix in some different experiences for the guys over the course of 4 years. If they can go to two or three different places as opposed to the same spot every year. You know, this past week with the, our tournament that we played in, we went DC and then we're in Philly, then we're in New York, and then worked our way up to Skidmore for our first conference game. So as opposed to just staying in one place for a week or coming back to campus and being the only ones here because it is spring break, I try to add a little diversity to the experiences for the guys. And I think they appreciate it. And, I am a little part-time tour guide and travel agent on the side, but I think it's well worth it. And I do feel the players and their families as well appreciate it.
That's awesome. Now let's talk about academics, the student part of student athlete. So John, and then Daniel, and then Mark, what were your majors when you were in school?
Yeah, so I am a economics major with a government minor. Liberal arts university here, though, so your first year and a half, you're taking all sorts of different classes, kind of finding what you want. You don't really concentrate till that second half, which I really liked because I was able to take some like math classes, history, and something neat, an opportunity I also had was I studied abroad my junior year. So I studied in Prague, the Czech Republic, which is pretty unique. I think like me and four of my teammates were the only student athletes over there studying abroad at a small school of like 120 American kids. So St. Lawrence and the athletic department does a great job like supporting kids to pursue whatever they want academically and athletically.
Daniel, what is your major?
So I'm undecided as of right now. You don't declare here until your sophomore year. So I've just been taking a wide variety of courses. I'm thinking about doing either math, like math econ or something of that sort, but something cool St. Lawrence does is a first-year program and a first-year seminar. So your first-year program, it's just one of your classes, and it's with all the kids in your dorm who you live with. And it's kind of focused on a specific area, but you get to know the kids you're living with really well, and it's a good way to meet new people and settle into the campus community. So I think that's one thing about St. Lawrence that definitely helps the freshmen.
for myself, I was a business and econ major, and then was able to then leverage St. Lawrence's awesome alumni network, which helped me get my current job. That's kind of something that St. Lawrence is known for, is their alumni network. And so that definitely rang true for me, and I've been down in New York City since last summer.
Very cool. Coach, I think you can just play this little bit on your recruiting things. You don't need to even bring in a counselor to say, exactly. Here's what's good about St. Lawrence and your academics.
I was thinking that myself.
For you, Coach, what was your major when you were in school? And did you know you were going to go into coaching?
Yeah, so I was a government major. You know, as I mentioned, I really liked history, you know, liked kind of U.S. government and all things connected to that. So went along that path, thought maybe law school would be an option, something I considered until later in my career. Both my parents were school teachers. My dad was a special education teacher at the high school, and he was also my football coach. And so had been around athletics and coaching for my entire life. So I knew that was a passion of mine. Didn't know that I was going to pursue that professionally, but as things kind of moved along with my academic career, there was an opportunity to get a graduate assistantship down at the University of Albany, actually starting with a football program. So I was down there for a couple of years, got my master's, and then I came back to St. Lawrence and got into coaching, assisting with lacrosse and football. So, you know, it was a great opportunity to kind of test out coaching as a profession, liked it, and just continued to go along that path.
And now here we are, 30 years later after graduating. So the three of you, John, Daniel, Mark, you all are pretty close, and you have relatively similar interests, it seems like, in business especially. Have you guys had time to commiserate at all about professors or share happy or horror stories about your academic experiences? Do you guys do that much?
Yeah, we definitely, I think, we all had pretty positive academic experience, obviously Daniel being, a little earlier into his career, but, definitely share some similarities. And also, one thing that's unique about St. Lawrence is that, a lot of your professors, you were able, given the smaller class sizes and it being a smaller school, you're able to build close knit relationships with them. So, a number of professors that I had, I still keep in touch with to this day. And a lot of times those same professors who you're in class with, they'll show up to your games and support you there. So it's quite a unique community at St. Lawrence, which is something that was pretty cool.
That's awesome. Daniel, they didn't try to scare you at all? I feel like I would have done that to my sibling, but they seem nicer than me.
Yeah, no, they've been, whenever I have a question about my schedule or plan, and I always text these guys and say, have you taken a class with so and so, and what's the review on them? So it's nice to be able to get that experience and knowledge passed down, but I've had nothing but positive experiences with my professors so far, like Mark said.
Awesome. Well, now let's move on to some story time. So the first thing I want to hear from all of you are your funniest or craziest but appropriate stories. So John, I'll have you kick us off. What is a story that sticks out to you when you think about your time there?
You know, it's just got to be some of the practices where it's just been either torrential downpour or just a blizzard up here, and you know, we're outside, still having fun with it. The mesh in your stick will start to freeze and balls start to fly everywhere. Coach Mo, aka my dad, will get on the boys about the how we're playing or whatever, but it's kind of just, you know, I think it's just dealing with the weather is like something I love taking away from playing up here. Like, it's cold, it's up north, it's not going to be nice out a lot, but you know, each practice the boys go out and have fun. You know, sometimes it's 15 degrees out and snowing, and we get the occasional 70 degree day, but I think just playing in some of the weather conditions we do for lacrosse, most people wouldn't believe it.
I thought this was going to be a good recruiting video for us, John.
Just tell him to stop listening after about minute 10. How about you, Daniel? What's your favorite or funniest story from the road so far?
I would say on the field, my favorite memory so far was just our Mustang Classic this past or 2 weekends ago. Now we had 2 overtime wins back to back against ranked opponents. So just a celebration in the locker room afterwards. It looked more like a nightclub with the music blaring and everyone jumping around and dancing. So that was a lot of fun. And then off the field, I don't know if you noticed, but John and I both have buzz cuts. If you come up to St. Lawrence, you'll see 50 guys with buzz cuts because we did as part of the Headstrong Foundation fundraiser to raise money for pediatric cancer. So on Sunday, we all got together. It was kind of a way to come together and do something positive for other people while also just having a little fun with it. So, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and I would say for me, I was trying to think of kind of one specific one, but there's really just too many to count from looking back at my career, but just kind of goes back to looking at, you know, the time in the locker room pre or post practice with your teammates or those long bus trips or hanging out in the dining hall. You just got a ton of laughs from those, and we had a great group of guys throughout my time, and I know that they had the same this year. So I would say just, yeah, creating those, all those memories and the kind of countless days and nights you spent with all the guys on the team was something that I miss and definitely cherish those memories.
Okay, we're back on the recruiting pitch, so we're good again, Coach. Coach, how about you? How about a funny or crazy story from your time?
Yeah. Well, just from a coaching perspective, I would say my first year here, I actually coached my brother. You know, my first year as a head coach, and even previously as an assistant coach, and now to have coached these three guys over the past 5 or 6 years, it's just somewhat strange how it's come full circle. You know, right out of the gate with a sibling, and then to have a son or 3 sons play for me now. Later in my career, it's just funny how that worked out. There's a lot that has to happen, you know, as far as they have to make a decision that St. Lawrence is a place for them and they want to, pursue this type of academic institution. They want to play for their dad, and for that all to play out the way it has, whether it's funny, I guess I would call it crazy, right? To be able to coach my brother and now to coach my sons, it's certainly made for a special experience overall.
Mark, since you're the oldest of the three of y'all, sounds like you were the first one to make that decision to go play for your dad. What was that like when you're a senior in high school or maybe even younger, you decided, but you're about to get out of high school and you're trying to figure out where to go next. Was it an easy decision to go there and play for your dad, or did you look around a bit? What was that kind of like for you?
Yeah, I'd say definitely kept my options open. I spent 2 years down at the Hotchkiss School in Connecticut, which was great to kind of get away from home before eventually returning there for to attend St. Lawrence. But I think ultimately, deep down, I knew I was going to end up going there eventually. And I am definitely happy with my decision looking back on it.
And John, I'll just go down the line in order. John, for you, you had an older brother who, was he a junior when you started, or what was, am I getting my years correct?
Yeah, it was Mark's junior year, my freshman year. Yeah, I shopped around a bit. I remember like visiting pretty big rival school with my mom. You know, my dad stayed at home to kind of stay out of the politics and whatnot of everything. But at the end of the day, the opportunity to play with Mark was something that was very attractive to me, and it just made sense. It was everything I wanted in the school, and it's right here, so it worked out perfectly.
And Daniel, how about you?
Yeah, I'd say I share a similar experience. Like the other two, I went to school and I went to Choate for 2 years, so I got away, and I did the whole recruitment process, looked around. But I just felt as though at St. Lawrence, I knew what I was getting. I knew I would get to play with my older brother, play for my dad, and that there was 50 guys in the locker room that were bought in, and there wasn't any smoke in the recruiting process. I knew exactly what I was getting, and that made it a pretty easy decision for me.
That's a good point. I've had a couple parent kid duos on this podcast so far, but no one's really pointed that out, that they can't really lie to you too much about what the experience is going to be like when you get there. You already kind of have a background view. And coach, you kind of mentioned it when you talked about just how crazy it was to have all, you know, your brother and then three kids, but for you, you know, they looked around, they looked at other places, they had other options, obviously. What was it like when all three of them finally decided to come play for you?
Yeah, it's special. Again, because they, as they've all alluded to, they knew somewhat what they were getting into, and you know, you feel kind of you feel good as a parent that they wanted to make that decision. You know, when it's all said and done, I wanted them to go to a place that they felt most comfortable and they felt was going to be the best fit for them. And the fact that, you know, it was in their backyard and was great. You know, you worry a little bit about kind of making sure. I wasn't worried from my standpoint, you know, as far as coaching my son, like that never came into play. It was more so, I just wanted them to have an experience that they could look back on with a lot of positive memories. And, you know, with one out and now one a senior and obviously one just starting, you know, I think the reviews are pretty good right now. You know, the other thing I wanted to mention is that there's a member of our family who's in the University Hall of Fame here. And she's not on this Zoom call. Their mom, Pam, was a great student athlete here, played on the women's hockey team, played on the soccer team. And certainly, you know, it's been great for her to have the proximity of the boys from home and the ability to follow their careers. But I tell anyone I can, they get their athletic talents from Pam when it's all said and done from their mom.
Dang, a couple of multi-sport athletes as parents. That's not intimidating or anything, guys. awesome. Well, I think, John, I think you shared a funny memory, just the playing and your freezing and everything. But did you have any favorite memories from your time, or just something that stands out to you as a great time to look back at?
I would say getting the opportunity, I mentioned it earlier, to play in the – we made the national tournament my sophomore year. Ended up losing in the Sweet 16. But I just think that is like a memory I'll hold tightly to me, because it's certainly difficult to do. And that was when Mark was on the team, obviously. And with my dad coaching, that was just a great memory. So hoping to do it again this year. But making the national tournament was certainly my favorite memory.
Well, hopefully we see you in Philadelphia at the end of the season. I saw some pictures from last year. Getting to play in an NFL stadium is probably a pretty cool experience to have. So one of the fun things about Division III men's lacrosse. All right. Good. Now, I am going to try and wrap this up a little bit. So we've talked a lot about your experiences and everything, but now I'm going to get to some more kind of Division III questions. So for all of you, I will once again go around the horn, but what does it mean to you to be or to have been a Division III student athlete? And maybe that's great academics, like we've talked about it at St. Lawrence, or maybe it's getting to be in other things. I know we've had some people who got to be involved in Greek life here, clubs, things like that. So Mark, I'll start with you. What did it mean to you to be a D3 student athlete?
Yeah, I mean, I look back on my experience. It was probably the best kind of time of your life. I was actually, I guess, one of the perks of being a D3 student athlete is I was also able to play hockey at St. Lawrence. So I was definitely very grateful for that opportunity. And then obviously on the lacrosse side of things, you know, you kind of get the best of both worlds with a very competitive schedule, but then the ability to kind of
pursue a challenging academic schedule. So yeah, I look back on my time as a Division III athlete very fondly, and I think it definitely set me up for success post-college, to say the least.
And John, how about you?
Yeah, like with what Mark said, I mean, he covered it pretty good, but I just say again, I mentioned it earlier, but like the opportunity to study abroad. I'm on the club golf team here on campus, so having time in the fall to get out on the golf course, having time to skate when there's open ice at the rink here on campus, and just kind of like some flexibility in the schedule, especially in the fall, to pursue other interests and hobbies. Like in the spring, it's pretty much lacrosse 24/7, but in the fall, you know, you have time to pursue other interests. It keeps you fresh, which I certainly appreciate.
Definitely. And Daniel, how about you?
I would say, just like with a smaller school, the kind of sense of community that some of the others touched on, like you'll see professors at the game. You'll see your friends from your dorm in the crowd, like maybe something you won't, not as maybe a as close knit at the bigger schools at the Division I level. And then just getting to play the schedule we do, we play in the best conference in the country. So just being able to balance that super competitive athletics with the academics and that tight-knit community, I think that's what Division III is all about.
And Coach, wrap it up. What did it mean to you to be a D3 student athlete?
Yeah, it's, you know, I think athletics at so many of these Division III institutions is such an integral part of the experience, where you can find that balance between academics and athletics. You know, you're going to make some of the best friends are going to be your teammates that you're going to stay in contact with for a lifetime. Those alumni connections that you make, not only broadly as far as the alums from the school, but more specifically the alums from the lacrosse program. They've been wonderful about giving back to our current student athletes in any way that they can. And, you know, I just feel like it's a springboard to a successful life after St. Lawrence and after any Division III experience. You know, so often we see the larger scale, you know, March Madness at the Division I level, or the BCS Bulls, or that sort of thing. But when you think about kind of, you know, athletics to the core of, we're going to be in this together. We might not have a huge NIL deal or, you know, scholarships or anything like that, but we're going to work together to try to be the best we can be as a team. I don't think you can beat it. And I don't think anyone would ever regret it if they took that path.
Awesome. And my last question for all of you, once again, 50th anniversary is what we're celebrating on this podcast. We're 50 years down, many, many more to come for Division III. So I'm going to ask you to play a little bit of a guessing game or give your predictions. Hopefully they are better than most people's March Madness bracket, since you just brought up March Madness. So make a couple of predictions here. But what do you hope to see for the future of Division III? And Coach, I'll do this one backwards. I'll have you start it.
Yeah, I just hope that, you know, universities just continue to support Division III athletics. I feel like when the student athletes can make that commitment to their sport, that makes their overall experience so much more, just a better experience overall. And I think administrations understand that. I think they'll continue to do that. And I just see a bright future for Division III athletics overall.
Mark, how about you?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, athletics played such an integral role in my development, in my college process, and kind of set me up for success with a lot of the principles that I learned in athletics for life after college. So I hope to see, yeah, Division III sports in general just continue to thrive and get bigger going forward.
Daniel?
Yeah, I would agree with what the others said. And I think at the core of it, like my dad touched on, you're not you're not playing D3 athletics because you're getting sponsored by these big companies or because you're on scholarship or whatever. You do it because you love the sport, you love where you play, and you love who you play with. So I think as long as that's the case, and Division III athletics are going to keep thriving.
All right, and close us out, John.
Yeah, these guys kind of touched on all the major points, but just playing for the love of the game. You know, none of us are going to go make a living off this sport we're dedicating all this time to, but it's, you know, it's the memories and the lessons it teaches you. It's why you're playing.
All right. Well, thank you all for joining me today. Once again, excited to have a whole family on here, although apparently we're missing the best athlete in the group. So next time, if we have a next time, we'll make sure that Miss Pam is invited. Awesome. Good luck. I saw you guys are 9-0 this season. You're killing it already. So good luck the rest of the season. Hopefully we will see you in Philadelphia in May.
Thanks, Katie. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
To everyone listening, thanks for tuning into this episode of Small Talk. We post new episodes every Thursday. To follow along with everything Division III, you can find us on social media at NCAAD3 or NCAADIII. Make sure to join the conversation with us all year long by using the hashtag DIII50. Have a great day, and we'll see you for some more Small Talk next week.